This morning I want to begin by noticing with you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse, let's begin in verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. Paul would ask Timothy to consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That's a reasonable request for the beloved apostle to make to this young preacher. And I would say the same to everybody here this morning. Consider what I say this morning. And the word consider means to give attention to listen, to focus. Consider. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul understood that no matter how he taught it, now clearly he taught it, God would have to give them understanding. We all recognize that our understanding of Scripture comes to us through our Lord Jesus. Now verse 8. Remember that, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul mentions the resurrection of Jesus Christ continually in all of his writings. And that's something you and I need to remember on a daily basis. Don't forget it, beloved. Remember. Now, there's a lot of things we need to remember, but this is paramount. It's easy to forget it. It's easy to let it slip our minds. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Of all the events in human history, none are more important than the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So Paul is saying, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected wherever I go. And because of my preaching Jesus Christ, I suffer trouble, even as an evildoer. Can you imagine somebody thinking Paul was an evildoer because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, he suffered because of it. He was imprisoned a lot of his life. I'm sure you all are aware that our beloved Apostle Paul spent a lot of his life in prison for preaching the gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Even though they could lock Paul up in prison and put him in chains, they could not bind the word of God. Paul, while he was in prison, wrote a lot that's in this book today. Y'all do know that. It was like God put him in prison and gave him plenty of time to write. You know, if you and I were locked away in prison, we wouldn't like that. But if we had our Bibles with us and we had lots of time to read and study our Bibles, instead of all these other interruptions we have, we'd probably benefit. Now, we don't have to be locked away in prison to read our Bibles. We need to be doing it anyway. But Paul did not waste his time in prison. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote many of the books that are in the Bible. So the Word of God was not bound, even though he was in chains. Therefore, And I want to just say this morning. Satan hates God's word more than anything else in the world. And the first words that we read in Scripture that came out of Satan's mouth, do y'all remember what they were? In Genesis chapter 3, "Yea, hath God said." Those are the first words that Satan spoke. "Yea, hath God said." Trying to cast doubt on what God had said. And sadly, Eve listened to him. And you and I'll get in a lot of trouble if we listen to the devil today. Amen? But let's give the more earnest heed to the word of God. So Paul would say, but the word of God is not bound. And I want to tell you, Satan's attack on the Bible continues in our world today. A lot of people go to college and they hear professors attacking the word of God. And a lot of these newer translations that are coming out are really watering down the word of God. So let's be thankful God has given us the King James translation of 16:11. Paul says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." Now listen to that. Paul says, "I endure all things for the elect's sake." He was willing to endure imprisonment. He was willing to endure persecution. He was willing to endure a lot of suffering. And why was he willing to endure it? "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake." Now, wait a minute. Does Paul believe in election? Yes. He believes God has an elect people. And it's right here in this verse. "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes." Now, why is he enduring all things for the elect's sakes? God has an elect people out of every nation, family, language, tribe on the face of this earth. They're God's elect. He elected them or chose them before the foundation of the world. Now, why would Paul endure so much suffering for the elect's sakes? So that the elect can go to heaven someday because of what Paul is enduring? No. I want to tell you, beloved friends, Paul's suffering did not assist the elect in getting into heaven. But his suffering, his enduring all things for the elect's sake, did bring about a deliverance for them in life. How would Paul's suffering for the elect's sake help the elect? That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with or in addition to eternal glory. Now, eternal glory is ours because of what Jesus endured. How many of y'all agree with that? It's what Jesus endured on the cross that's going to get us into heaven. I like what the Hebrew letter talks about Jesus Christ enduring. Let's just notice that expression a moment. My Bible has gotten very fragile. If I'd have known I was going to keep it this long, I'd have treated it better. I've had it rebound twice, and I've had a lot of pages laminated, and I probably had it 40 years. You say, "Brother Sam, why don't you get you a new Bible?" I've got two or three, but I'm just so familiar with this one. It fits like an old shoe. Can I get a witness? But it's getting fragile, so I have to be very careful with it. Now, Paul would say in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." What was the joy that was set before Jesus when he was on that cross? The joy that he was going to save every one of his children through his sacrificial death. That brought him incredible joy. Now, notice, if you will, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus didn't enjoy the cross. He endured it. You and I need to understand that. He wasn't play-acting up there on the cross like they do in movies. He was actually being crucified. And the judgment of God was falling on him as well as the cruelty of the Roman Empire. But he endured the cross. And through enduring the cross, he saved everyone that God had given him to save in a covenant before the foundation of the world. And so Paul's enduring all things did not aid or assist Jesus in saving the elect. But in what way does Paul's enduring all things help the elect? So let's notice now, we're here in verse 10 of chapter 2 of Timothy. Therefore I endure all things. Let me tell you, beloved, you and I as children of God ought to be willing to endure whatever we have to endure in order to follow Jesus and be a believer in our Lord Jesus. And preachers need to be willing to endure all things for the elect's sakes, not in order to get the elect into heaven. Jesus is going to take care of that by enduring the cross. But in what sense was Paul going to be able to help the elect? That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Eternal glory is by grace alone, through the suffering of Jesus on the cross. Do y'all see that? Eternal glory. You know, that's a beautiful expression, isn't it? Eternal glory. Not momentary glory. Eternal glory awaits God's children in heaven. But in addition to our eternal glory that we're going to enjoy through the sufferings of Jesus, there is a salvation here in time that God's elect can enjoy as they learn the scriptures and they follow the scriptures that God has given us in this life. So Paul would say, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation. Now, what is the salvation that God's elect can obtain in this life in addition to going to heaven? Eternal glory, eternal salvation is unconditional on our part. We don't meet any conditions in order to have it. It's a free gift given by God to his children. But there is a salvation here in time that is conditional on our obedience. And that salvation, that deliverance, depends a lot on us studying the Word of God and obeying what God has told us in Scripture. And Paul was willing to travel the Roman Empire. I believe the Bible would indicate he went all the way from Jerusalem to Spain, where the Mediterranean and the Atlantic Ocean meet. This man traveled preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and informing God's children and teaching them. Now, let's notice in verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, now listen to this, if we deny Jesus, he will also deny us. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that even though you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you can deny him and he'll end up denying you for all eternity? No. Notice verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, yes, beloved, if you and I don't stay close to the Lord Jesus, and we don't honor him and these bodies which he bought and paid for, and we give ourselves over to the flesh and the world and the devil, and we forsake the assembly, and we forsake the way of righteousness, and we deny Jesus, he will deny us in this life. In other words, he's not going to continue to bless us and honor us and use us in his service if we're constantly straying away from the patterns he's given us. How many of y'all want to remain faithful to Jesus? Come on now. How many of y'all want to just quit and give up? I don't. I want to be faithful like Sister Ernestine Brantley. You know, she was 87, I think, and I'm telling you, she was faithful right up till the end. She was at Pleasant Plains Church 2 weeks ago. I mean, in a body that was aged and afflicted, but she didn't deny her Savior, even in old age. A lot of God's children deny Jesus in their youth, and that's not a good thing to do. Solomon said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." I love that. Remember now, right now. Don't promise yourself tomorrow, because tomorrow is not ours to promise. How many of y'all do know you may not be here tomorrow? Tomorrow, beloved, is not ours to bargain with. But right now, we have it. We have life. And Solomon is saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I've known people for 60 years that I've tried to pastor. I've known people say, well, I'll join the church next year, or I'll join the church when I get married, or I'll join the church when I finish college, or I'll follow Jesus. I remember my brother E.D., if y'all will allow me, he was burdened to join the church right here at Cool Springs. But he didn't join when he was burdened. He had it in his mind, I'm going to wait until I get a job and get married and have children, and then I'll join the church. Promising himself tomorrow. And I remember Sister Beatrice Purser. E.D. was renting a room for her from her down in Cochrane. And she said, I knew something was troubling that boy, because that bed would be just tore up. He couldn't sleep at night. His conscience was bothering him. And he finally remembered his Creator and joined this church before he got married, before he had kids. A lot of God's children try to put it off. Beloved, don't put it off. Remember now thy Creator. Thy Creator. How many of us know God is the Creator? We didn't get here on our own. God gave us life. God gave us our identity. God is the one that has given us life and breath and all things. And we live and move and have our being in God. And we need to remember him as our Creator. Remember now that Creator. By the way, the only way they could remember their Creator is if they knew him. Solomon is not talking to people that are dead in sin and don't know God. He's talking to people that have spiritual life, but they have a tendency to forget God, as we all do. So he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Let me tell you, God deserves more out of us than our old age. Now, in old age, he deserves our devotion, and we ought to continue to present our bodies a living sacrifice, even down to old age, like Sister Ernestine was. But a lot of people want to give their youth to the world and the flesh and the devil. And they want to get out here and they want to party and they want to work and they want to have a big time in the world and just forget God and forget the church and forget trying to live a Christian life. And then when they get down to old age, they want to bring a worn out body. the ashes of a misspent life and present it to God as a sacrifice. No, he deserves better than that. Are y'all with me today? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil years draw not nigh. Now let me tell you, the evil years are talking about the years of inactivity, when old age sets in and you can't go as you once did. So we don't want to deny our Lord Jesus. No, we want to profess him and honor him all the days of our life, not just with our words, but with our lifestyle, and let the whole world know we love him. He's our all in all. And we want to serve him and honor him all the days of our lives. Would y'all agree with that? So we don't want to deny him, because then he would deny us. He will also deny us if we believe not. And Paul uses that word we there to include himself, which means that even the great apostle could get to a point where his believing in Jesus was not what it should be. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And I believe what Paul is saying there is that God is not going to deny his elect family what he's promised them in a covenant before the foundation of this world. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them. Now he's teaching this young preacher to cause those that he's preaching to remember. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now what Paul, I think, there is saying is that we don't want to strive with one another about words. We don't want to get into arguments about the Bible. Strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Beloved, arguing and fussing about the Scriptures is not profitable to the cause of Christ. Now, he says to him in verse 15, and this is the verse I really wanted to get to this morning, Paul would say to this young brother, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now this is written to a young preacher, and it certainly applies to preachers of all ages and of all time. But it also applies to God's children that have a Bible. If you're blessed to have a Bible, I would encourage you today to study it. Not just read it, but to actually give attention to it, consider it. Maybe, you know, sometimes you have to do word study when you're studying the Bible. You have to look up a word in the dictionary, or you have to run a reference to another place in the Bible. My Bible here that I love so much has a center reference column, and what it will do is this. It will refer you to other scriptures in the Bible that will help to shed light on this verse. Do y'all ever do that? Study to show thyself approved unto God. That is, really give attention to the Bible. You know, a lot of these modern translations say, we're writing it and translating so you can read it easily, like you would the newspaper. The Bible is never written to be read like the newspaper. You have to study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? Approved unto God? Who's going to finally, in glory, at the final resurrection and the final judgment, who's going to make us approved unto God? Well, the blood of Jesus is going to do that. But here in time, as you and I live out our days on this earth, we ought to study, as this text says, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I get convicted sometimes when I don't study the Bible as much as I should. And I'm thankful the Holy Spirit convicts me when I neglect the study of the Bible. Now, Paul would say, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean, rightly dividing the word of truth? You know, beloved, when you're reading the Constitution of the United States of America, you want to interpret it properly, but you don't have to rightly divide it. Because there's not things in there that's going to seemingly contradict each other. But when you're reading the Bible, you're going to find passages that teach us that salvation is by grace alone. That it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Y'all remember reading that? And this same Bible tells Timothy. He says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, wait a minute, Paul. You just told us over here that it's not by what we do that we are saved for heaven. And yet you're telling this young preacher, Timothy, to take heed to himself and to the doctrine and to continue in them, for in doing this, you'll both save yourself and them that hear thee. Which is it, Paul? Is it by grace alone, or is it because of what we do? I want to tell you, one of the keys to understanding this Bible is to understand there is a salvation in Scripture that's eternal. It's unconditional on our part. It's a gift from God Himself. But there is a salvation taught in this book that is conditional on our behavior. Are y'all with me? Now, if you don't understand that, you're going to be, as Brother Sonny Piles used to say, you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Y'all remember him saying that? You know, a termite in a yo-yo, you just picture that. He's got to be confused. He's up, he's down, he's out, he's in. The termite's very confused. A lot of people are that way studying the Bible. I'll tell you what will really help you in reading the Bible. When you come up on that word saved in the Bible, always ask this question. Saved from what? What's it talking about? Now, if it's talking about being saved from eternal hell, I can assure you there's nothing you and I can do to save ourselves from eternal hell. If we could, don't you know God would have let us do it instead of sending His Son down here to suffer? Are y'all with me today? Thank you. But when you come up on that word saved, you need to ask the question, saved from what? When I was studying with Brother Obey from Tanzania, I drilled that into his mind. And at his ordination, Brother Tim McCool was questioning him on that. He said, when you go back to Tanzania in Africa and somebody comes up to you and says, what must I do to be saved? What are you going to say? And Brother Obey said, saved from what? If somebody came up to you today, right now, and said, I want to be saved, what would your response be? What is it you want to be saved from? Are you wanting to be saved from cancer? Then watch what you eat. Quit smoking. You know, you could save yourself from a lot of things. But if somebody is wanting to know what to do in order to be saved from eternal hell, just tell them. Jesus took care of that on the cross 2,000 years ago. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all are happy with that? I am. I will never forget a preacher came to my home in Statesboro one time. Boy, he was knocking on doors. He was blanketing our neighborhood, trying to get everybody saved. And when he found out that I believe Jesus took care of it on the cross, he said, the way you're talking, preacher, you're not worried about anybody dying and going to hell. He was shocked because he's worried sick about people dying and going to hell in his own family. He told me, he said, I cry myself to sleep at night worrying about people in my own family that are going to hell. And you know what I said to him? I said, I don't blame you for crying. I'd cry too if I believe that. I wouldn't wait till bedtime to cry. I believe I'd wake up in the morning crying. What about people going to hell for eternity? That's a long time, folks. They're not going down there for the weekend. But I want to tell you, if Jesus saved them from hell to heaven, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not worried about it. But I am concerned about myself and all of you being saved from all the evil that's right here in this country. Right? I mean, we're all sinners, and let me tell you, the devil is after every one of us. And he wants to rob you of your fellowship with God, your home in the church. He wants to rob, he wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your health. And so, let's rightly divide the word of truth. And the way you rightly divide it is to understand that eternal salvation is by grace alone. And time salvation, to a great extent, is based on our obedience. And if you're burdened to join the church like my brother Ed was, you need to obey. Amen. I believe I was saved the night I joined this church. I remember the night I joined. It was in the old building. I was saved that night. Saved from what? I certainly wasn't saved from eternal hell. That took place 2,000 years ago. But I saved myself from a burdened conscience, a guilty conscience. And when I got into the church and the church started fellowshipping with me, it saved me from a lot of things in high school that I was being tempted to do that I had no business doing. See, church, your home in the church will help you. It'll save you if you'll be active in it. Thank you all for being here this morning, and I hope the Lord will give you understanding.